The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
We got huge ranked matchups. We got offenses everywhere that are ready to explode. A ton to get into. It's College Football Live. Desmond Howard, Jim Mora, I'm Jason Fitz. And we start also with Heather Dinich joining us because, guys, before we get to any of the games coming up this weekend, Heather and I got to have a little conversation about the College Football Playoff Committee. Heather, you tweeted it out yesterday, and it's the big news everybody's talking about this morning. The College Football Playoff has decided to postpone the beginning of their rankings process 1 week. So what's the latest you've heard from the College Football Playoff situation?
Right, they moved it from November 17th to November 24th. And the reason they did that was because the CFP Management Committee met this week for the first time knowing that all 10 FBS conferences are going to play this fall. So they decided, hey, let's give that 13-member selection committee one more week to watch these games, because by that point, everyone will have been playing. Now, that also means that there are going to be four rankings before the big one on December 20th. So, guys, that means that, you know, every weekend always counts, but there's going to be fewer opportunities, in fact, the fewest in the CFP era as far as rankings go, to impress those committee members.
So, Heather, obviously we've seen at this point, we know different conferences will play different numbers of games. Has there been a conversation within the committee about pushing back the final date of December 20th?
No, there has not been a conversation about pushing that date back, because once you start to mess with that, you get into NFL playoffs, and that gets really tricky. So as for now and for the foreseeable future, I would expect to stay on December 20th. That will come right after everyone plays their conference championship games. So I expect the December 20th date to stick.
Heather, as always, we appreciate the insight. Thank you so much for coming on with us, and we'll keep in touch. I feel like speed dial always to Heather Dinich, figure out what's going on. Thanks a lot, Heather. All right,
Thanks.
So we're going to bring in the rest of my guys here. As Desmond, obviously, and Coach, we've got so much conversation about the College Football Playoff, and this year looks very different. So, Des, I'll ask you, if you were on the committee, knowing what they're dealing with and the fact that you may have different teams that have played different numbers of games, how would you handle it?
You have to be very, very flexible. I tell you what, this is something that's been it's unprecedented. You know, we've never had this before. We understand what everyone's up against, and we want to do, you know, what they want to do, the best job. So if I was on the committee, I would want to do the best job I could. The eye test is going to be extremely critical this year. It's going to be a subjective call by a lot of people. But it depends on the quality of the opponents, too. When you talk about the number of games, you also have to talk about the quality of the opponents that you play. I was always taught that it's not just what you do, it's also, more importantly, who you do it against. So I think that that mantra is going to be huge this year for the College Football Playoff Selection Committee.
Coach, when you
I
hear
agree.
Things like eye test, what does it make? What's it say to you on that?
Well, how good you look. And as Desmond said, it's so important who you play, and it's also important how you play against those good teams. I mean, are you playing to your championship standard each week, week in and week out? And are you at your best when you're playing against the best? Because those are the things that people want to see. When Desmond talks about, you know, the quality of your opponents, what it says to me is that, you know, we're almost eliminating the Pac-12. You know, I hate to say that, and we're elevating obviously the SEC and the Big Ten, because and even now I say the ACC, because Notre Dame being a part of it and the way Miami's playing, you know, I think that conference is starting to really rise. But I think pushing it back is the best thing that we can do. I know we would all like to see rankings, because it creates intrigue. It allows us to discuss and debate and have fun with it. but we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for these programs and for college football and for the college football playoff in general. And the right thing to do is push it back, be patient, make great decisions, and figure out who the four best teams are when we make our final decision.
So, Coach, from your standpoint, should the committee come out and tell us that there's a minimum number of games that must be played to be considered?
I don't know that they can do that right now. It's like Desmond said, there's so much unpredictability this year in college football, and there's such a need for flexibility that I think that's almost impossible for them to decide right now. Now, maybe later on they will say, hey, you had to have played 7 games or 8 games or 6 games or 5 games. We don't know what that will be. And so, once again, I'm going to keep referencing Desmond because he's always so right on, is you better play to your standard week in and week out, regardless of who you play. And you better be at your best when you're playing the best teams and look great, because that's the eye test, because we don't know what's ahead here in terms of picking the Final Four.
Dez, any concern about a realistic scenario where you've got an undefeated Ohio State team that played 4 or 5 games taken on, in the committee's mind, a one-loss, let's say, Bama team that suddenly played 9 games?
Man, I tell you what, we can play the scenario game all afternoon. And I don't, you know, Ohio State play, if they were undefeated but they only played 4 games, I think it would be very difficult for them to have a strong case as far as being one of the top 4 teams, unless those 4 games were against the 4 best teams in the conference and they dominated those 4 games. And then that's when the eye test comes into play. And Coach, I mean, he said it perfectly. That's what you want to see. You want to see these teams that are elevated to such heights that they're playing at their potential, you know, that they're playing to their strength every single weekend, especially against the stronger opponents. And when you see that, that weighs more heavily to me than anything else. So, you know, it's a lot to learn. We have a long ways to go. But to play this scenario, that scenario, to me, is just too early. But we know that a lot of teams aren't going to play their full schedule because we've seen it already. I mean, we have games either canceled or postponed every week. So you know that's going to happen. It's just a matter of how many games they played, who did they play, and how great they looked in those games.
Dez, you're right. We can play the what-if scenarios, but I'm on radio every day. That's what we do. We play what-if scenarios. All right, Coach, let me ask you this. Would this be a year where you would accept playoff expansion just to protect whatever the committee's got to look at?
I don't know. I like the 4-team format. I do. I think that it creates so much intrigue as we get to the end of the season. Who are the Final Four going to be? You know, that's a word we use a lot. We use it in basketball. We use it in professional sport. The Final Four. And talking about the Final Eight, I like the 4-team format.
And look, I'm with you all the way, Coach. I'm just trying to stir the pot. All right.
Sure,
so we'll
are.
Go
Radio.
From what-if scenarios. We'll actually take a look at some things we can look at this weekend. This is one of our favorite things to do. By the way, before we do that, take a look at the college football playoff. Obviously, this is the time frame here. The Rose Bowl, January 1st. The All-State Sugar Bowl, January 1st. Those will be the first-round playoff games. And then the national championship will give you January 11th, 2021. No change to that, even though there's been a change to the committee. So now that we've taken a look at those dates that are in front of you, let's take a look at some of the action that you're going to get this weekend. We're going to speed through some of the best. This week's game of the week, also the side of College Game Day. You got Auburn versus Georgia, the Deep South's oldest rivalry, the 125th meeting between these two teams. Dez, what are you looking for from Georgia at the quarterback position in this one?
I want to know who's going to line up at quarterback for Georgia. We saw what happened a week ago when they played Arkansas. You know, they started with Dwan Mathis. They thought he was going to be the answer. He just seemed to struggle out the gate, didn't play well. So then Stetson Bennett came in. You know, he played well, saved them. Dwan actually came back in the game late. You can tell that Kirby wanted to get him some reps in live action, despite the fact that he didn't play well earlier. And don't forget now, JT Daniels, he's been cleared. And he was a pretty good quarterback at USC.
All right, let's flip up to the next game. Texas A&M had some struggles against Vandy. They take on number 2, Alabama, one of the few teams in the SEC with a huge win there. Coach, what are you looking for from Kellen Mond in this?
Kellen Mond has to play better than he played last week. He's got to protect the football. you know, over the past 2 years, he's thrown 9 interceptions each year. He's got to make plays with his legs. And he didn't have to do this against a really good Alabama football team. I think that Alabama, believe it or not, ranked number 2, is underrated. Okay? I think they're underrated. You look at their quarterback, Mac Jones, and since he started playing last November, the only quarterback in college football that had a higher quarterback rating was Joe Burrow. All right, they've got 4 returning offensive linemen. They've got Waddle. They've got Devontae Smith. They've got Najee Harris. They've got Nick Saban. So I think it's going to be a really tough game for TAMU, Texas A&M.
Let's flip forward to some ACC action here. Number 12, North Carolina, looking to start 2-0 in consecutive seasons for the first time since 2008-09. Dez, what do you got your eye on?
Hey, guys, take a look at the trenches. Watch the guys in the trenches, especially when North Carolina's on defense. I love their front 7. They've been playing fantastic so far. Man, going up against Boston College's offensive line, this group brings in like 80-plus starts. This is a veteran group, and you know that their OC, Frank Signetti, he wants to establish the run. You want to keep Sam Howell, UNC's quarterback, off the field, so you're going to exercise some ball control, running offense. Watch that game in the trenches. UNC's defense versus BC's offensive line.
All right, let's flip over to SMU. They're going to go walking in Memphis. That never gets old. Coach, what are you expecting from the number 25 Tigers this week?
I'm expecting an upset. You look at the balance that Sonny Dykes has brought to these offense, and look at Shane Bouchel, who has 852 pass yards, his second in the FBS, and then you look at their running game. All right, look at TJ McDaniel and Ulysses Bentley, 224 yards per game and 8 touchdowns between them. Great balance, explosive. They're averaging almost 49 points a game. Memphis hasn't played since September 5th. I think they're going to be a little rusty, and I think that SMU has a chance to run all over Memphis.
This is just the beginning of a lot of action coming over the course of the weekend. Dez said it earlier, all kidding aside, it's so easy to speculate about the future. I, for one, am going to spend Saturday thankful that we're getting some amazing college football matchups to watch. And, guys, part of the matchups we're going to watch comes down to quarterbacks, and we've got some of that coming up later in the show. The immediate impact of 2 different transfer quarterbacks, one of the biggest storylines of the college football season so far. We'll debate how sustainable the success is. We're doing it next, coming up.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
We played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs have somebody scheduled.
You know, they call them Bulldogs for a reason. They're built for combat. I've always been able to install it fast. I don't think it'll be perfect within a week, but I think it'll be fairly sharp within 2 weeks.
Looking for a bandwagon? Hop on.
Let's take a look at today's More Driven Players presented by Goodyear. 2 quarterbacks off to a hot start and 2 transfers. D.R. King has Miami at 3-0 for the first time since 2017. And KJ Costello's first game in the SEC only resulted in setting the conference passing record with 623 yards. Good God, in an upset of the defending national champion. So it raises a little bit of a quarterback conversation to have here. Dez, with that sort of success for Mississippi State in that offense, do you believe that they're for real in the SEC?
I tell you what, guys, I think that the Mississippi State Bulldogs are going to put teams in a situation where they're going to be in a shootout constantly. That's what they're going to bring to the SEC. They're going to force your offense to have to alter their game plan, because most offenses in the SEC, they're not built for shootouts. I mean, we're talking about a team that wants you to have to get into like a 50 or 60 point game each time they take the field. And with KJ Costello playing at the level that he played at in Baton Rouge, I mean, the grad transfer from Stanford was just, he was relentless. Even when he had a bad play, he would come back out there firing on all cylinders again. So I love the fact that they're going to put that type of pressure on teams week in and week out in the conference, Coach.
Well, KJ Costello, I had a chance to compete against him when he was at Stanford and I was at UCLA, and he's always been a very, very impressive player. And he's a perfect fit for what Mike Leach wants to do. He stands tall in the pocket. He's patient. He's accurate. He makes very good decisions. And they are going to put pressure on people, but you know, my question is when it comes time to run the ball, because they're going to get in a game where they're going to have to run the ball against some of these great SEC defense. Are they going to be able to do it? You know, and I don't know that yet. So for me, the jury's still out. I'm excited about it. I like what Mike Leach is bringing to the SEC. He's changing it up a little bit. He's got a quarterback that, you know, is really fun to watch, a team that's really fun to watch. But I'm going to hold judgment right now. And watch them a little bit more when they get in a game that maybe is just a little bit tighter or a defense is a little bit stronger than LSU was on Saturday.
All right, well, let's take a look at the other quarterback we're talking about, and that would be De'Ara King, who's obviously, I think that's become like a weekly segment for us. We all love De'Ara King and what's happening for Miami. Now, they got Clemson coming up next weekend, but, Coach, you've had time to look at what he's done, a bigger body of work. I mean, is Miami and De'Ara King capable of contending with Clemson?
Well, I think they can compete with them. Can they beat them? I don't think so yet. I think they're moving in the right direction, though. And, you know, De'Ara King, he's 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, which securing the football is critical if you want to win a tightly contested game like they'll probably have versus Clemson. And he's such a multiple, not just a dual threat, but a multiple threat. He can stand in the pocket and throw. He can get out of the pocket and throw. He makes great decisions when he's out of the pocket, whether to throw or to run. And he can really run the football. And I love the way Miami's running the football and playing defense. But, you know, we're still talking about Clemson. We're still talking about a developing Miami team. But, listen, I love De'Ara King. I love the way he plays. I love the way he presents himself as a leader. I like his maturity. I like everything about him. But I just don't know that they're ready yet.
Dez, thoughts?
Oh, I agree with Coach. And I think that they're probably a year or two away from actually competing or beating Clemson. I mean, it's one thing to go out there and compete. And what do we call a competitive ball game? What does the score have to be for it to be competitive? Or, you know, maybe they're competitive early and it gets away late. I think there may be a year or two away from that. De'Ara King is the talk of the town. I live in Miami. But I'm going to tell you, one guy who's really impressed me so far, Coach, is Cam Harris, the running back. I think Cam Harris has had an extraordinary season so far. Like the early part of this season, he's the MVP of that team because the offense goes through Cam Harris. The man averages 8 yards per carry. I mean, 8 yards per carry. Are you kidding me? Has 5 touchdowns on the season already. Has hit home runs out the gate. Built kind of like Frank Gore, you know, kind of stout, you know, sturdy, but he has some speed. So I love the fact that they're running the ball that the way they are with the new OC, Rhett Lashley, and it takes a lot of pressure off of De'Ara King. He doesn't feel as though he needs to go out there and make plays for them to win games. He got a lot of talent around him who are doing special things.
You guys are just agreeing on everything. I'm going to have to stir the pot here somewhere. We'll find something for you guys to disagree on. It's going to be fun to watch moving forward. So all this quarterback conversation, we're going to tell you next about one quarterback that maybe you haven't heard of. He's expected to be an incredibly high pick in the upcoming draft, and he's opting in to play for one game. Should that be allowed? We'll discuss it coming up next.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
It's time to take a look at the All-State AFCA Good Works team, recognizing athletes for their charitable work off the gridiron. To see all 22 players on the Good Works team, all you got to do is log on to ESPN.com and search All-State. Great kids doing great work there. Get you some COVID updates. Penn State superstar linebacker Micah Parsons has decided not to opt back in for the Nittany Lions, so we now know that he will not be a part of the 2020 season. That's not the only opt-in news, as we'll go west for the next piece of it, which comes from Stanford, where Stanford Cardinal corner Paulson Adebo has opted out of the upcoming season as the Pac-12 prepares to return to action. So they'll be returning, but he won't. There's a big edition of Game Day coming up tomorrow inside. What you want to take a look at? The best quarterback you don't know. They'll get your feature on that. Plus, cut it out. One of my favorite moments from last week was some of the cutouts. You'll get a little interesting story there. And some incredible live interviews with coaches like Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart, and Dan Mullen. A lot of great stuff on Game Day that you don't want to miss. Now, we mentioned the best quarterback that you don't know. One of the conversations is about a North Dakota State quarterback. Not Carson Wentz, not the NFL guy, but for now, Bison sophomore Trey Lance, already being touted as a possible top pick in next year's draft. He's decided to opt in, but he's only opting in for one game, gentlemen. He's going to come back for one game, get his big moment, and then he's going to opt out to prepare himself for the NFL draft, where, again, he's projected to be a top pick. So, Coach Mora, as a coach, how would you handle it for a kid that wants to come back just for that one game?
Boy, that's a tough question. You know, you're putting your team on the spot. You're putting the coach on the spot. You're putting fans on the spot. You know, I don't like the decision. But I absolutely understand the decision. You know, college football has become a business, and these are businessmen, and they're having to make business decisions. And as much as I'd like to see him play all year, because I like to watch good players play, and as much as I'd like to see him, you know, live up to this responsibility he took in when he took or took on when he took a scholarship there, I understand his decision, you know, and I hesitate to say that, but I get it. And I, like I said at the top, I don't like it, but it's business, man. College football is business, and these guys have to take care of their future.
Yeah, Coach hit it on the head, man. This is a business, and these guys, they have to make business decisions, and that's where we are right now with this sport. And I would be conflicted as a teammate. So for everyone to buy into this decision, he must be one hell of a young man. Like, they must absolutely love this kid, for everybody to pretty much buy in to him doing this, to just play one game so he could, you know, increase his stock or whatever the case may be. That's something that's so, you know, it's unheard of. And for the teammates to be like, okay, we on board for this, he must be just an incredible young man. But he's doing what he needs to do to put himself in a better position for the NFL draft. So I get that. But as a teammate, I would be very, very conflicted about that. There, we're only going to get this guy with this type of talent for only one game this season. I don't know.
Well, you better play well, huh, Desmond?
Does it become two games if it doesn't go well? I think there's also, you know, the unspoken
right, exactly.
part of this. We never want to worry about this, but God forbid. I mean, he's putting himself at injury risk, too, putting him out. Like, if he knows he's opting out to get ready for the draft, there is still risk to it. So we'll see what it means, obviously, as we wish only the best for the young man as he moves forward to the NFL draft. Gentlemen, right. I'm sorry I couldn't make you guys brawl this week, but it's always fun hanging out with you. Have a great week. We appreciate you guys hanging out. For Coach, for Dez, I'm Jason Fitz, thank you so much for hanging out with us on College Football Live. We appreciate you. Enjoy a weekend of football.